1. Sophia Salgado's third grade teacher back in Indiana had been right. Every day really was a school day. There were always new things to learn. In fact, life was pretty much one big educational experience. Today's lessons for Sophia seemed to be 1. No matter how much you loved the peach iced tea at the Marmalade Cafe, it was not a good idea to take the waiter's offer of a third refill if you planned on spending the entire afternoon sitting in your car on a stakeout. 2. If there was even the remotest possibility that you might lose control of your bladder while sitting in your car, any meal involving asparagus was not a good lunch choice. 3. Like so much in life, you never really appreciate toilets until you need one. Of course, Miss Canals had also dropped some pretty heavy hints to Sophia's mom before they left Indiana for Los Angeles, saying things would never work out for the girls' acting careers in California, and they should just stay in Indiana and learn typing, so she wasn't entirely infallible. But when it came to viewing life as one big learning experience, she'd been dead on. None of which solved Sophia's immediate problem. She desperately needed to go pee without ruining what, at least up until now, had been her first perfectly executed covert surveillance operation. Without permission, she couldn't abandon her post, a quiet side street with a clear view of the main entrance to the somewhat unfortunately named Big Rock Rehab Clinic. Or, to give the place its full title, the Big Rock Rehabilitation and Spiritual Renewal Clinic. She had already spent the best part of the last hour scouting the immediate area for a bush she could duck behind, but the area was sadly devoid of bushes. In fact, the only large cover was provided by a stand of 3 large saguaro cacti. Looking at their 2-inch-long spines made her shiver. The idea of losing her balance and falling naked-ass backward into a 6-foot-tall cactus was even more off-putting than the prospect of trying to explain why the interior reeked of asparagus-scented urine to the guys who valeted her car in Santa Monica. That left her the third option, which was potentially more embarrassing than needles in the butt or pee on the upholstery. She'd have to confess her predicament to the other half of her surveillance team. She hated to do it, but it was an emergency. She scooted down a little farther, reached over, and grabbed the phone lying on the passenger seat. She made the call, but waited a second before speaking. "Aiden?" There was a long silence before he finally answered. "How many times? You don't use real names on a stakeout. I'm Nighthawk, and you're Little Sparrow." She rolled her eyes. This isn't a Jason Bourne movie. They were sitting outside the rehab clinic on behalf of a movie studio that wanted to make sure the star of their latest action movie franchise completed his 28 days without sneaking out to score some Bolivian marching powder, thus driving the insurance premium on the next movie in the series sky high. This was not a life or death situation. Code names weren't required. "There's still a procedure," he said. She was starting to wonder if there really was a procedure, or if he just invented one to drive her crazy. She squirmed in her seat, trying to find a position that might relieve the pressure on her bladder. "Okay, Nighthawk, here's the deal. I really need to take a comfort break. Can you cover my position for 10 minutes? Moving had been a bad idea. She needed to go even worse than she had a moment ago. She tensed, trying to hold on and already planning her next move. There was a deserted lot about 400 yards down the hill on Big Rock Drive. She was pretty sure the lot wasn't overlooked. She could pull in, dive out, use her car to shield her from any passing traffic, go, and be back at her post in no time. "Why?" Aiden said.
"What do you mean, why?"
"I mean, why do you need a break? We've only been here a couple hours." He must be deliberately playing dumb to drive her crazy. He thought that just because he'd done a few years in the LAPD and his dad ran the detective agency, that he was her boss. Fine, she'd tell him the truth. "I had too much iced tea at Marmalade, and now I have to pee, okay? Happy?" She threw the phone back down on the passenger seat and hit the button to start the engine. Sweet relief was only a short drive away. "Request denied," said Aiden.
"What do you mean, request denied?"
"Hold your position."
"If I wait any longer, my position is going to be underwater."
She took a deep breath, doing her best to stay calm. The more irritated she sounded, the more he'd screw with her. It was pretty much how their relationship had been from the first day they'd met all those years ago on the set of Half Pint Detective, when Aiden's dad, the show's technical advisor, had brought his then 12-year-old son onto the set in Burbank to meet Sophia, the 11-year-old movie star.